Welcome in, everyone, to the Investing in Real Estate show. We're going to take your questions here in just a moment. We'll get to three of your questions here on the show. But first, I wanted to address what we're seeing right now with the real estate markets and as it relates to the debt bubble that the United States is sitting on. Of course, we just passed $34 trillion in national debt just last week. That is the fastest move from $33 trillion to $34 trillion, $1 trillion in just 3 months. That is the fastest amount of debt added to our national debt that we have ever seen in the United States. And it is unsustainable. We are literally watching the US dollar in decline, in free fall, as a result of what the Biden administration is doing right now and the Federal Reserve continuing to print money. So when we look at hard assets, I mean, my focus is completely on real estate, hard, tangible assets that are a hedge against what's happening right now with these incredible tailwinds from the national debt problem right now. The only real way to get out of this national debt problem is to devalue the currency so that you're not paying too much in interest payments on the US dollar, and then transfer the US dollar into a digital currency that is controlled by international entities that don't really care about the US Treasury and the US dollar per se. I did a full deep dive interview with Whitney Webb on this on my other channel just a short time ago. Of course, she's been tracking the rise of the central bank digital currencies and what this means for the future of the US dollar. And she said something incredibly smart, which I hadn't thought of, because I thought, well, what are you going to do? You're going to devalue the US dollar. It's going to collapse. Then what? Well, what if you have another system already planned and already in place? And that's where the rise of the digital dollar, backed by international banks, not from your government, not from the US Treasury, but literally private international banks that will control the future of the US dollar. So this churn, you might think, well, they don't seem like they're really concerned about it. The actual collapse of the US Treasury version of the US dollar, they don't seem like they're concerned at all. They're not. The reason they're not is because they have the backup plan already in place, which is the digital version of the currency. That's why I, folks, if you have money in like a US dollar, you really need to be careful. I'm warning you about it. You know, you can do whatever you want with your own money. If you're like, Clayton's crazy, I'm going to keep all of my money in US dollars and keep it in a savings account. That's great. That's totally up to you. You can do that. And then in a year and a half, 2 years time, when that has completely lost value, you have only yourself to blame. Don't call me crying. But on the other hand, if you plan now and see what really smart individuals are doing with their money, which is putting it into real estate, putting it into precious metals, then hopefully maybe a couple of years from now, you'll thank me for that. You'll say, you know, I was glad I put a portion of my savings in something that has sustained for 5,000 years, going back to the Roman Empire, the Romans using rental real estate as a way to create wealth and preserve wealth. So again, totally up to you what you do with your money. I'm not a financial advisor. I can't tell you to go buy stocks or do whatever you do. You do you, whatever you're comfortable with. All I'm telling you is what's happening right now with U.S. debt is unsustainable. $34 trillion in debt. Over $1 trillion just in interest, just to make the interest payments on the debt. More than we spend in the United States military budget, which is now $1 trillion a year. You know, they say $880 billion a year. It's way more than that because all the black book projects and stuff, it's well over $1 trillion. So protect yourselves right now, guys. This debt bubble is going to be the thing that really drives our version of the US dollar into the toilet permanently. And it's all part of a plan. That's why it's happening. Make no mistake about it. So let's get into your questions. Let's protect your wealth. Forget what these guys in Washington are doing. Forget what these guys at the European Central Bank are doing. Let's talk about you and your personal financial situation and what's happening in real estate right now. We've got three great questions from our audience today. And I should mention, if you would like to book a call with my team at Morris Invest, we build brand new construction rental properties with our development team. They're brand new. They're built in the best rental markets in the country. Cash flowing with tenants in place in the properties, managed with a property management company. You don't have to do anything. You simply work with us and our team will guide you through the entire process. We have financing built in on these properties and enables you to grow your portfolio in a very meaningful way. We'll work with you one-on-one for years to come. So we'll hold your hand through the entire process. So just go to our website, go to morrisinvest.com and book a call with our team at your leisure, whatever time of day and calendar appointment you choose. go ahead and do that. All right. That's also where you can leave us a voicemail question. Let's start with our first voicemail today from Steve, I believe.
Hi, Clayton. I have lots of equity in my home and my cash flowing real estate and excellent credit, but lenders keep denying me loans because of the debt income ratio. I want to improve my rentals and raise rents as well as add a number of ADUs. What could I do? Thank you.
Well, first of all, don't be discouraged just because certain banks tell you that they won't lend to you. But I understand, of course, debt to income ratio is a problem. It doesn't affect your credit score specifically. Okay. It's not, but it means that when lenders look at how much debt you have on compared to your income, they will put you in a certain riskier or non-risky category. So let me just give you an example. Your monthly debt obligation divided by your gross monthly income. What are you bringing in? That is going to equal your debt to income ratio. Now, a good debt to income ratio is typically around 36% or lower. Once you go over 36%, and again, banks change their guidelines on this all the time. So here we are in 2024. These are sort of the current guidelines. 36% debt to income is okay, acceptable. When you start going above that and you get up to about 43%, then you're in a riskier category. They'll still lend to you. Lenders, many lenders will go up to 43%. So Steve, I would ask you, what is your debt to income ratio right now? So given that, knowing that 36% is good, 43, they'll go up to it typically, and 50% is considered risky. There, you got a lot of leeway there, meaning you just have to shop around for some different lenders, okay? And don't just take one no for an answer. Go out there and find other lenders that are willing to do this. Now, it sounds like you're trying to get a home equity line of credit on the primary residence of your home, right? In order to use that equity to go out and to buy and shore up other rental properties right now and acquire other rental properties. I would, again, reach out to my friend Dan Krause down at Churchill Mortgage. He's great at this. He can at least point you in the right direction to help you find a lender that will lend to you on with these specific items in mind. I'd also consider non-recourse financing, where it's not tied to your personal background. If you're specifically trying to acquire other properties, consider non-recourse financing. This is a powerful tool. You'll pay a little bit of higher interest rate, but you're still getting other people's money to add to your portfolio, right? I don't care. Like, you know, I wasn't able to get traditional financing because my debt to income ratio was a little high. Well, great, I got non-recourse financing. Great, I'm paying a little bit higher in an interest rate, but I'm still adding to my net worth. I always come back to something Robert Scheman said to me, one of the great real estate investors, a friend of the show. He said, you know, if I could buy real estate and they're going to lend it to me at 10% and I'm going to make 11%, I'll take it all day long because I'm using other people's money to build wealth. Sure, the spread is not great, but eventually it will be, and I'm adding to my net worth. So I don't want to say the phrase beggars, you know, can't be choosers, right? It's not really in the situation. But at the end of the day, you're still using a bank's money to build wealth. So again, shop it around, figure out what your debt to income ratio number is so you can play around with that a little bit. And I would consider reaching out, like I said, to Churchill Mortgage, Dan Krause down there. He could point you in the right direction, give you some great pointers. And also consider non-recourse financing as an option in this game right now. All right. Oh, I'm sorry. Before I move on, also, here's another strategy. I totally forgot to mention this, which is to pay down the debt. And there's a couple of ways. I actually put a bunch of notes together here that I forgot to even read off my note sheet here, which is you want to make a plan to pay off some of this debt, this higher debt. So if you've got credit cards or whatever, if you've got 5 credit cards with a certain amount of debt on them, is there anything you can do right now to really tackle some of that debt? And within about a month to 2 months, your debt to income ratio can totally change. And suddenly you're altered in another category. Maybe you're sitting right now at 44% debt to income ratio. Just by going after that one credit card could totally eliminate, you could be dropping down to 41% debt to income ratio. And therefore then a lender is likely to work with you. So just got to play around with those numbers a little bit. Another thing you want to do is increase the amount you pay monthly towards your debts. So maybe you're holding back right now. You've been spending a little bit traveling and entertaining, going out to movies, going out to dinners quite a bit. Just take the next month or two and just get lean. Tighten that belt a little bit, Steve, you know, and just say, hey, okay, we've been spending a lot of money on going to movies and going out to dinners and stuff like that. Let's just stop doing that for a few months. and really focus on paying down this debt to income ratio problem. Okay. And take all that extra expendable income that you've been wasting, spending, I don't want to say wasting, but living your life, fire it towards that debt. And you can dramatically alter things in a short amount of time. And also really, really, really make sure that you don't take on more debt in this time period as well. Okay. Don't open a new credit card. Don't be adding to your credit card debt. Really try to eliminate some of the debt to shore up the percentages there. And also, here's another key. I would do this all the time when I was massively in debt years ago. I would call up the credit card companies. I'd call up the creditors, and I'd ask them to lower my interest rates and talk to them about how can I pay this off more quickly. They will work with you. They may even transfer you over to give you a 0% interest rate for a short amount of time or lower it dramatically to allow you to get, so it can really alter your debt to income ratio in this time period as well. I think all of those things coupled together, you're going to see a dramatic change in the next few months if you put all of those things in place. All right. Thanks, Steve, for that question. Here's our next one.
Hi, Clayton Morris, Don Elliott, calling to ask your opinion. I have 3 mortgages on some of the properties I own, plus my HELOC. I was wondering if it's better to use the HELOC just to pay off these mortgages and use all of the passive income to pay off the HELOC, or just leave the mortgages like they are. Talk to you later. Thank you.
Hey, thanks, Don. Great to hear from Don. Don's such a great guy. Thank you, Don. I appreciate the question. Great to hear from you. I'm not a financial advisor, so I can't tell you what to do personally. And it would really come down to the numbers. And so this is something that Natalie and I wrestled with over the years as we looked at, we wrote a whole book about it, right? How to pay off your mortgage in 5 years. And one of the things we talk about in the book is this exact question, which is, you know, should you pay off debt or just leave the debt in place and grow your portfolio, grow your net worth? And what I like to do is sort of settle on both. I kind of like a little of both. I like to be paying down that debt because I don't like debt. In general, you know, there is good debt and bad debt, and mortgage debt can be seen as good debt because it's not, you know, it's amortized, and of course, it's given you a net worth, it's given you an asset to add to your net worth column, right? So you've got these mortgages, but you own a piece of real estate, so that's different than credit card debt or having a car loan. Different animal, right? Good debt, bad debt. But what do the numbers look like? Is it possible, Don, that you could use a portion of that home equity line of credit to fire at the principal balances of these mortgages that you have on these rental properties? Because you're in a position, I think, Don, where you don't really need to live off the passive income right now of these properties. So using the passive income from these properties, yes, as well as using the HELOC, use it as a machine gun. That's how I see it. That's how what we've done. I can only tell you what I've done personally is I pretended like I didn't even have the passive income from these properties. Remember, I think of the 3 phases of real estate investing. Buy, own, and cash flow. You buy the properties, you're not even worried about the cash flow. Then after you pay off the mortgages, you own them. That's when you enter the cash flow phase, when you're, you know, maybe when you're nearing retirement age and now you're living off the cash flow of the properties. Right now, I'd almost pretend like I don't even have the cash flow. It's the same way I treated getting raises over the years. When I would get a raise at my companies, when I worked at the companies, I would pretend like I didn't even get the raise. I would use the extra money from the raise and I'd put it into investing, pretended like I never even got a raise. So that's kind of how I see cash flow from rental properties, is like pretend like you don't even have it. And yes, fire that passive income at the principal balance of those mortgages if you want. That's what I used to do. I used to use the cash flow from my properties to pay down the mortgages. And if you want to use that HELOC, then you can use it a little bit on those mortgages if you like, but also to me to go out and acquire new rental properties. Use that home equity line to add a 4th property to your list now, you know, and think about the tax benefits also on that front as well. So now you've added a 4th property to your nexus using your home equity line of credit. So personally, I like a little bit of both, but it really comes down to the numbers. And again, what mortgage interest rates are you currently sitting on? Are your interest rates so low that they're kind of, you know, back in the 2019 era? Because those ships have sailed, right? We're not going to have mortgages that low probably ever again. Rates are coming down right now. That's great, but I don't think we're ever going to see them artificially kept as low as they were over the years. So that's something to consider. You know, is it worth even dealing with it right now? Like we had a mortgage with a ridiculously low interest rate on an investment property. And we're like the interest rate's so low that we weren't paying additional amount towards it because it wasn't a burden. It wasn't like some sort of a big burden. We were still making our regular payments. And then we were investing in other properties on top of it. I know that's an amorphous answer or a nebulous answer, Don, but just some things to think about. I hope that at least it sparks some ideas in your brain about how you want to tackle this. Again, good luck to you. And thanks for calling in, Don. Great to hear from you. All right, our last question here.
I have a self-directed 401k and I wanted to buy half of a property that my cousin already owns. What paperwork do I need in order to be in compliance for my solo 401k?
Hey, thanks so much for the question. Of course, you know, what you need to understand, first of all, is that with a solo 401k, the solo 401k will be purchasing the property, not you. Okay. The actual plan itself in name will be buying the property. So the solo 401k, whether it's, I don't know what it'll be called. It'll be called like, you know, Char's solo 401k for the benefit of Char, you know, whatever it is, right? We'll be buying the property. You're not allowed to touch it. So it'll be made in the name of the solo 401k. They'll be purchasing the property to comply with all the regulations, all the fees, the monthly escrow deposits, all have to be paid by the solo 401k. So I don't know the specific paperwork that you'll need specifically. I just know that all of it has to be handled by the solo 401k plan inside of the solo 401k. You're not allowed to touch the money. You're not allowed to touch the assets. It has to go completely in with the custodian handling this under the IRS tax code. So clearly, with a solo 401k, you have a custodian. I don't know who your custodian is, but I would definitely reach out to your custodian that runs your solo 401k plan and tell them you are about to acquire a piece of real estate. You're going to buy it inside the solo 401k. What paperwork do I need to make this happen? And that custodian will help you because they have to facilitate it all. They're the ones writing the check. They're the ones that will hold the asset. The custodian will hold the asset. You're not going to have anything to do with it. So all I would do is just get on the phone with my custodian and tell them, here's the property that I'm buying. Here's a portion of the property that I'm buying. Can you please draw up the mortgage note, the promissory note? And here's the address of the property. Here's how much I need. Here's what's going to happen. And they will work with the title company to make sure and facilitate that transaction. Again, you can't touch it. You can't have your hands on it or any piece of it. So reach out to your custodian. That would be the simple answer. Just reach out to your custodian and ask them, hey, here's what's happening. What paperwork do I need? And they will get it all set up for you. I hope you found that helpful. I'd love to answer your questions. Go to our website, go to morrisinvest.com. And while you're there, if you're interested in real estate, great. You can book a call with our team. If not, on the right side of your screen, there's a microphone icon. Just click that and then you can leave us a 30-second voicemail question here, and we will try to answer it on the next show. So guys, protect yourselves right now because the U.S. debt bubble is growing. It's growing very, very quickly. And the only ones that will benefit from this is Wall Street. Wall Street financial firms are going to benefit greatly from the crash of the U.S. dollar. You will not. But if you're protected, if you're smart about it, read the warning signs. I'm telling you right now what's coming. Pay attention to what's coming. Don't be foolish and put your head in the sand right now. Make moves and protect your family, guys, like we're doing. Natalie and I are very, very concerned about this. That's why we've been making moves over the past 2 years, specifically more real estate, more precious metals to protect our family. Thank you, guys. Now go out there, take action, become a real estate investor. I believe it's the number one way to protect and preserve your wealth. We'll see you next time, everyone.